Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's KeltechWeapons.com.
Today I'm announcing that my office has obtained a 3-count indictment charging Senator Robert Menendez, his wife Nadine Menendez, and 3 New Jersey businessmen, Wael Hanna, Jose Uribe, and Fred Davies, for bribery offenses. The investigation that led to these charges has been run out of the Southern District of New York. The indictment alleges that between 2018 and 2022, Senator Menendez, the senior U.S. Senator from New Jersey, and the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and his wife, Nadine Menendez, engaged in a corrupt relationship with Hanna, Uribe, and Davies. The indictment alleges that through that relationship, the senator and his wife accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars of bribes in exchange for Senator Menendez using his power and influence to protect and to enrich those businessmen and to benefit the government of Egypt. The indictment alleges that Hanna, Uribe, and Davies provided bribes in the form of cash, gold, home mortgage payments, a low-show or a no-show job for Nadine Menendez, a Mercedes-Benz, and other things of value to the senator and his wife.
I just want to know, here's my thing. Who in the hell still uses gold bars? Right? Like, who uses gold bars? Is that a thing?
I want to.
You want to use gold bars? What do you want to use gold bars for?
Gold's valuable. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I just thought that the only people who used gold bars were like pirates and Ron Paul. I didn't think anybody actually used gold bars anymore.
In this economy, precious metals are pretty much the way to go.
But I mean, I get that. But my first thought was the hell. And aren't they heavy?
They are.
Like how much? I know. First off, let me greet everybody. It's Friday. I don't care. It's Dana Lash with you. I'm just mystified. I'm actually mad. Dana Lash with you, top of this, whatever the hell hour it is. First hour. It's Friday. Gosh, everything's going to hell. We got a senator who gets gold bars. I'm just curious about that. Got a senator who gets like full on gold bars. So how heavy are they? Like, I was, like, Googling this, and I'm like, well, it depends. It's just to give me an answer. Like, on average, like, how much is, you know, if you're going to lug around some gold bars. They said he had cash. One of my favorite parts of the whole thing that they unveiled is that the attorneys were saying that dude had legit cash in his jacket, like, stuffed in his jacket pockets. Like, they just had, like, Scrooge McDucked away everywhere, man. They had cash everywhere. They had cash coming out their ears. They had cash everywhere. Gold bars. I mean, and oh, something else. Didn't he just get in trouble for this?
Yes.
He just literally got in trouble for this. He just skirted like major charges for this. And now he gets caught again. And how did he, I guess someone told on him. I didn't even care that much. He's a Democrat. I mean, you're shocked. He's a Democrat, A. He's a Democrat, New Jersey, B. I mean, all of this is just stunning. So welcome to the show. That's how we're starting off today. I have a theory. I don't know how, I don't know. I mean, this, because I was looking at this indictment, and this indictment is so bad. Democrats don't have to worry about keeping the seat because it's New Jersey. They're going to vote for, you know, they're going to vote for another Democrat in there immediately, so it doesn't matter. But I was thinking about this. So his indictment, he and his wife Nadine also in a corrupt relationship with three New Jersey associates and businessmen. They were getting luxury vehicles. They got a Mercedes. They got gold bars. They were paying towards their home mortgage. All kinds of stuff. 39 pages. Had cash shoved in his jacket pockets. I mean, it was an Egyptian-American businessman. And apparently they also gave them... What sensitive information did they give? I don't think they actually got into the sensitive information part of it. But they said they found the safe deposit box. They executed that warrant last year in June. And they found $480,000 in cash, hidden in clothing closets, a safe. They had the DNA on the envelopes of cash that basically it was Menendez's DNA, the DNA of his driver, something like that. They had home furnishings, the Mercedes... over $100,000 worth of gold bars stored in the home. I know I would never tell anybody if I won the lottery, but there would be signs. Gold bars would be one of them, I think. But that, I mean, I get it. Candy, did you make this point on air before we went to air about non-traceable?
Yeah, it was before we went on.
Okay, explain this, because I'm still laughing my head off over this. Well, I'm not taking it seriously. I'm sorry if you guys think I should be, but I'm just this is just so Washington.
It's like cash, where you hand somebody something valuable. There's no electronic, receipts for it. You're just handing them this, and then handshake, and there you go. So I think that's a lot of the reasons why. That apparently there were payments made to his mortgage too.
Yeah, they were paying off his mortgage. He was getting everything paid off.
Yeah,
he was getting everything paid off, and then some. 39-page indictment, and he literally had a corruption case against him once already. That ended in mistrial. That was a mistrial, and that was apparently right at the time he started. I'm sorry. He just started this right at the time, right at the same time. What is the matter with you? Can you not be a criminal for 5 seconds? Got to start getting bribes. I want to know what sensitive stuff they had. I want to know what sensitive information that he gave these guys. That's the million-dollar question. That's the million-dollar question here. I really would like to know. Okay, so here I mentioned a little bit earlier before I dive into this more. I mentioned the situation with, I'm just saying I got a little bit of a tinfoil hat. I got a conspiracy hat here with Menendez. And the conspiracy that I have is that, are they going after this guy because they're they want to give this appearance of, look, we're holding someone accountable? Because we don't have all these charges against Hunter Biden.
And it's a distraction.
Yeah, and it's because we're talking about gold bars today. Yeah. Because that's ridiculous. That's big pimping, man.
Yeah,
gosh, we're going to have to break that song out, aren't we? Anytime we talk about Menendez. It is. So I just, I'm just saying, I get the vibe of, this is very much a distraction, yes. And also, they need to show that they are, in some way, keeping... Look, we're upholding law and order. What are you guys talking about?
It's a Democrat.
Yeah, look, it's a Democrat. We're going after a Democrat. Of course we are with law and order. It's a matter with you people. But it's Menendez, right? Everybody loves to hate this dude. I mean, it's really hard to defend a guy that legit hid gold bars in his house. I mean, is it like the eight? It's like is this literally the 19th century, the 18th century? Is that what this is? Arr, we're going to pay ye in gold bars. Apparently, the other day was Talk Like a Pirate Day. I appreciate that none of you here did that because, as you know, one of my ancestors was hung off the coast of the Carolinas for piracy. This is a true story. And my culture is not your costume. The closest I've ever. I'm going to use that ad nauseum. If I see a liberal dressed as a pirate, God help me, or them. All right. So I can. Oh, man. Where to start with Biden? I was going to move to some of this audio. I don't even know. Okay. He had some problems yesterday. He doesn't really know, like, I guess, to whom he's speaking. He had a big gaffe, another big gaffe. He was praising the Congressional Black Caucus during a speech to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is very confusing for him. This is he was talking about this. Audio soundbite 3. Just behold.
We're going to make it clear, as we have here tonight, during Hispanic Heritage Month, Hispanic heritage in America is American heritage. That's what it is. Now think about it, folks. I'm not trying to just be nice. Let's be simple about it.
What?
26 of every 100 children in grade school from kindergarten through high school come from Spanish-speaking homes. 26!
Not good for him. He was mistakenly praising the Congressional Black Caucus. He was speaking to members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Gosh, I'm made of jokes right now. And this is yesterday. This is how the show's going to be today, isn't it? Is this how it's going to be? Okay. He was giving a speech at their literal actual 46th annual gala, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute's 46th annual gala. And, the director for the Catholic Charities of the RGV, she was there, you know, probably for helping people cross the border illegally. I wonder if it's the chick I kind of went back and forth with. And he, blah, 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 something about Bible, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, You're doing everything that the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, they embody all of those values. I'm like, dude, she's Hispanic. Like, you know what? Does he, Kane? Does he think that all minorities are the same?
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Just, I can't.
There's no other way to interpret it.
There's no other way. You were correct. There's no other way to interpret this. So coming up, some of the other stuff that we really have to discuss today. We really got to get into a couple of things. First, we have the story. We have the story out about how apparently, you know, that defunct disinformation governance board. Yeah, well, they were looking to censor opposing views on racial justice, the Afghan withdrawal, and other political subjects. We got to get that. There's a couple of other things. We got to get to the ongoing investigation with Hunter Biden. We got Law and Order, Mark Milley. We got a whole bunch of stuff. It's Friday. It's Gold Bars Friday. That's what we're calling it now. Sidebar, I can't stop talking about this. Like, literally, like, just in your home, like, how did you have it in your home? Did they, like, have a candle on it? Like, did they have it set up like a Magnolia home display? Like, how does this work? How does that even work? I don't even know. All right. We got a lot on the way. It's Friday. Who the hell knows what's going to happen today? It's one of them days. Okay. It's one of them days. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson literally wrote a piece today in the Wall Street Journal saying that he's now leaving the Democrat Party and becoming a Republican. He says that Democrat policies have exacerbated crime and homelessness. Wow. Big news. That's pretty awesome. So, That's the mayor of Dallas, Eric Johnson. I wonder how that's going to go down with their fascist judge, Clay Jenkins. I don't know. Okay, never do this. A woman in Michigan had to be rescued this week because she got stuck in an outhouse. Is it an outhouse that's like a working toilet? While trying to retrieve her Apple Watch, forcing people to, they had to remind them, don't be stupid and climb down inside of toilets. What is the matter with you? It's an Apple Watch. Like, get the Apple Care, get the insurance thing for it so that if it's like lost or missing, you don't have to climb into a toilet. There's an ad. Oh my gosh, they actually had to rescue her. That sounds like a horror movie. That is a horror movie. It's like shortest horror movie ever, but that's it. Rupert Murdoch announced yesterday he's stepping down as chairman of Fox and News Corp after 70 years. Everyone has expected this for over a decade. Literally, they have. His son Lachlan is taking over. More than, okay, this headline, I put this in last night and now I regret it. You see it came? More than 4,000 Americans, that one. What is wrong with you people? More than 4,000 Americans are hospitalized each year with a foreign object lodged in their backsides. It's, I don't know why they had to do this study, but a New York-based group literally had to do, apparently, study, a first-of-its-kind study. Everything from marbles to bottles, cans, even writing tools. 4,000 Americans annually visit the ER because they get something stuck up their backsides. That is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. And here's the crazy case. Men account for 8 out of the 10 cases. The most common group are males in their 20s and early 30s. So Steve's group of people. Steve, tell your friends to stop that. I can't even believe this. And so it's basically, yeah, of the number, 77% are dudes, 22% are females. Females, what's the matter with you? That number should be zero. What's the matter with you? All of them, yes, they all should. Oh my gosh. Some constitutional confusion. This headline, apparently, a study reveals, reveals that Americans are apparently woefully undereducated about their natural rights. Underinformed is the headline, but undereducated is the accurate term. No one should be undereducated about what their natural rights are. Shameful. All right, so coming up, the disinformation board, all kinds of stuff. It's Friday. It's Gold Bar Friday, guys. Folks, Constitution Day has come and gone, but there's still time to receive your free copy of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence from my friends at Hillsdale College. So what are you waiting for? Grab your free copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. Hillsdale's goal is to give away 1 million copies to Americans who don't have one. And if you already have a copy, why not get one for someone you know doesn't have a copy? Every American, young and old, should read these documents because liberty depends on we the people knowing the basic principles of free government. And given the state of our nation, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand these founding documents. So to claim your own free copy or to give one away, visit dana4hillsdale.com. The form is simple, and you'll receive your booklet by mail without paying shipping. The offer expires in just a few days, so reserve your copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For decades, immigration reform has been a bipartisan in this country. Unfortunately, the mega Republican Congress under my predecessor spent 4 years gutting the immigration system under my predecessor. They continue to undermine our border security today, blocking bipartisan reform.
What? This is a... Golly, President smells them kids' daddy showers. Who is... I just want to make sure I have this correct. He's blaming the problem at the border on Republicans. For some reason, saying that it was the... Now, look, I get it that Democrats weren't too eager to help anybody build a wall. I mean, we didn't get the wall built. Okay, so I get that. But the there's some other things we could have done. But it was really Democrats who didn't want to help fund any kind of border security. I mean, we were sending people back right and left. It was no catch and release. There was no gotaway numbers the way that we're seeing now. People were immediately, I mean, they were sent back. We had fewer crossings. You know, we there were a lot of things that would actually contradict what he's saying here. But, you know, it's becoming such a problem that they have to do something about immigration, but they can't do something about immigration that in any way indicts their own party. So it has to be Republicans' fault somehow. I don't know. Welcome back to the program. I'm watching this video of Senator Menendez. I don't know if y'all saw this. I didn't know this because he had gotten, dropped this in Slack for one. Menendez proposed to his girlfriend Nadine by singing to her in front of the Taj Mahal in India. They met at a New Jersey IHOP and he was aiding Egypt's dictator. That is so cringe. I would have punched him in the neck. I hate that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's like he's singing to her in front of the Taj Mahal. It's so cringe. Just stop. Like you're ruining a perfectly good photographic moment by belting out some song. I don't see. They're like showy criminals. That's how you get caught, because you're showy. And she was like, apparently, I guess, like knew all about it. She or they're dumb, Steve says, or they're just dumb. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's really hard. I don't really want to.
That's more likely.
I really don't want to hear it. Do I want to play it? I don't think I want to play it. It's so uncomfortable.
Never be enough for me.
This is the second. God. Oh, and then he proposes to her. That's gross. No, it's not. I'm very, very uncomfortable with public displays of affection like that. I just am not. I am in some way such a dude. I'm just like, this is no way. I just feel uncomfortable watching it and sharing it with all of you on the simulcast. What if she had said no? Man, you got to be real sure before you do something like that. What if she had said no? I wonder who he got that ring from. Oh, she had to have known, right? Nadine, she had to have known. I mean, she's like thin and she's tall and blonde and he's squatty and dumpy. I mean, that's, you know, money's attractive, I guess. Perks are attractive. Power's attractive. Oh, shut up. You all know that's the truth. Don't even act like it's not. This chick would have not turned her head at one time towards him if they were passing each other in the street. Be honest. I'm not doing this whole, well, he may have been a nice person. Shh. I am not either. Y'all know that's a lie. We're not playing that. Come on. It's because I have money. He probably flashed some of them gold bars. They met at a New Jersey IHOP. How do you meet at an IHOP? Like, you go there to eat pancakes. How are you meeting at an... Oh, I'm sorry. Are you having the moons over Miami? Is that or is that
that's
a Denny's.
Denny's
item?
I think it's Denny's.
I'm getting all my breakfast places confused.
That's a Denny's.
Have you tried the pumpkin pancakes? I hear that's the seasonal selection right now. How do you bump into somebody? How do you, like, meet somebody at a New Jersey IHOP? Gold bars. That's how. Gold bars. Dumbest people. They are the dumbest people. They got to show it off. Anyway, I had to watch that for the purpose of my work, and misery loves company, so you had to see it too. All right, so let's dive into some of this other stuff here. So the pull this up. Gosh, I must hate myself because that video keeps on, it's on replay. Get it off my screen. Gosh, it's Friday. That defunct disinformation board. Remember the lady who was the head of it, Nina Jankowicz, who was like every annoying theater kid all wrapped up into one annoying theater kid. And so after all of the Jonathan Turley has a piece up talking about how even though the board had been disbanded, we're still apparently finding out all of the stuff that they were involved in. So they, the scope of their censorship efforts, they wanted to combat misinformation and disinformation and malinformation. What the hell is malinformation? What is that? We're just making stuff up now. They were targeting views on racial justice and the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. So if you thought, for instance, that, you know, President McFart faced daddy showers, that if he had, you know, a horrible withdrawal from Afghanistan, then you're going to get spied on. Oh, man, if they, I was so spied on, probably. I make sure that I say something unflattering about the CIA every day near my phone because I know they're listening. I'm not joking. Do you do that? I'm not being weird. Like, there's a reason why Zuck puts a thing over his camera on his laptop. Yeah, I do that too. I totally do that. And then somebody at Radio America insists on having a phone call over what could best be described in an email. And then I got to sit here and take my stuff off my stupid camera. And then I got to find new tape to stick it back over. That's why I have a coffee cup literally that says I survived another meeting that should have been an email. So it's Friday. So they said that in this, they were looking at people's views on racial justice and the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Oh, and the efficacy of the clot shots. It rhymes. The efficacy of the clot shots. They were looking at that. And, the nature of U.S. support to Ukraine, as well as the phrase that they used was irregular immigration. Is that what you call it when I bust up into your house in the middle of the night? It's just an irregular entry. Wait, I wasn't. I'm here. I just came here irregularly. That's all. I'm gonna start using that. Like wherever I want to go, that I maybe not be allowed to go. I'm just gonna say that I irregularly went there. If that's the phrase that our government's using to describe illegal entry, then I'm gonna go to place. I want to go where it says employees only. No, it's Dana too. Irregularly entered. So they said that. Malinformation, they described as information based on fact, but used it out of context. This is literally 1984 Orwell. They're making up stuff to describe things that already have words to describe them. Malinformation is still misinformation. This is so stupid. This is just petty rhetoric at this point. Or semantics at this point. Information based on fact, but used out of context. Like how the clot shot is a shot. How about that? So after the demise of the board, they said that the DHS's information board itself fell to misinformation. And Jankowicz kept insisting that she wasn't going to do anything related to policing speech, which literally nobody believed. And so that's how far Homeland Security was going to go to target opposing viewpoints. They were literally going that far. I mean, that far. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented in that, I don't know, has stuff like this never happened or we're just finding out about it more? I'm kind of torn on that. So where is, they were coordinating. They were coordinating. I mean, Jankowicz even said that in an interview. She said that there was, they weren't policing speech, but they were, it was an internal coordinating mechanism to make sure that we were doing that work efficiently. So where was the results of that work? Like, were you investigating someone, criminal investigation? What were the enforcement efforts? Where was all of that? This is how far they were all going. And then you wonder why people are critical of government. And you wonder why people don't believe a single thing that the government says. They don't believe anything the government says. They don't trust anything that the government is doing. None of it. Now, all of this came out because of these FOIA docs. The DHS was claiming that they had the authority to regulate all of this. They had the authority to regulate all of these discussions. They had the authority for it. I mean, this goes so far beyond what government should be doing. And the fact that the board itself, they remember how hastily it seemed like it was getting launched and they were putting it together right after the abandonment of all the Americans and service members in Kabul by this administration. I'm just trying to figure out why they were still insisting, even a year after that, why they were still insisting that that talking point on withdrawal from Afghanistan had to be debated or had to be policed. Why? This is so Orwellian. Like, I just want to go back to the irregular immigration tactic. I mean, you're calling a crime irregular. That's a crime. It's a crime. It's not irregular. It's a crime. This is something else, though. I mean, the very big brother. We're in that brave new world. The brave new world. Now, a couple of other things to touch on here. The immigration issue, which we're going to dive into more because it's ongoing. Yesterday, we talked to you about how the Texas governor had declared that there's an invasion at the southern border. They pushed out National Guard. Nathy Hochul, I'm so keeping that. That's a verbal typo, and it stays. New York Governor Nathy Hochul. She was welcoming illegal immigrants in 2021, but now she's telling them to go somewhere else. And she's trying to do some damage control. And everyone always cites the Statue of Liberty. Now I guess they don't want to cite the Statue of Liberty anymore. They tried to cite that as law. And not just her, but also Eric Adams. They're telling people, no, we don't have any, they're insistent, we don't have any room. We can't handle it anymore. We can't do it. The Chicago mayor quietly signed a $26 million contract with the security firm to build actual camps for illegal immigrants. Residents are livid. This is what they want. Like, what the hell did some of these people think sanctuary city meant? What did y'all think that meant? When you have your leaders in your state sitting here talking about, we're a sanctuary state, we're a sanctuary city. I mean, what did you think that meant? That meant that these people aren't going to be following the laws. They don't have to follow laws. Did you actually think that you were going to get out of actually having to do something to prove that you live that talking point? Sure seems like that. We have a lot more on the way, including Days of These United States coming up that you don't want to miss.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And together with 29 other partners, and their partners, we're committed to help Ukraine build a force capable of ensuring Ukraine's long-term security.
How many times does he get, like, a quarter every time he says partners? I'm wondering about that. Partners. It's weird, isn't it? You okay over there?
Yeah. It's like he was his own reverb.
I just can't deal, you guys. I'm out of give a damn juice today. Out. I think, you know what? The immigration thing was it. I told y'all yesterday, seeing that video of them, the feds that the administration sent clipping that fence down there. Oh my gosh. Wait. We got affiliates all over Texas. Oh my gosh.
Back, we're just going to skip over that you said give a damn juice and just keep moving. That's like the best line I've ever heard.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. I mean, I've been hearing from all of these people who are in our affiliates here at the border. I mean, Candace, maybe about I'm thinking about like trying to like get it all to, because I'm still getting some, trying to get it all, cobble, have it all together and just having like an immigration rant off and just reading some of these emails, heavily censored, of course. Oh, yes. And I do appreciate that some think that, well, maybe if I say it in Spanish, it'll fly, because they're like, feel free to read this on air. And then I'm like, okay, I know what that word means. All right. I know what that word means. And I'm pretty sure I probably can say, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I can't, I'm not even going to try to say it because I,
yeah, don't.
Because doesn't that count?
It does.
You don't get a pass with the FCC because it's in nope. Spanish. God love you all, but you don't.
You don't get a pass for spelling it either. You can't spell it either. You cannot spell the words either. Can't spell
they're
it
like,
or
you
say
can,
it.
It's all right. You can say it just like, I'm like, I don't think I can. I really don't think I can. Oh my gosh. It's because people are so mad. And I understand it. They're justifiably. You have every reason to be infuriated. Every reason. So... yeah, like I said, I'm out of give a damn juice today. It's Friday. It's Friday, and we all went through it this week. We did. Now, some of the other things we got on the way. Can't even believe that now, apparently, the last days of summer. You know how government's got to regulate everything, right? So apparently in New York City, they're going after ice cream trucks. Ice cream trucks. The sweet summer treat. Ice cream trucks. Uh-huh.
What for?
Because they want to make everyone miserable. They want to make everyone hate their lives. The only thing that's allowed in the streets of New York are pee and pretzels. That's it. That's all that's allowed.
Rats.
And rats. Big rats that carry big rat slices of pizza. That's what it is. We're going to talk about this here coming up. And then, of course, obviously, the president is unveiling. He's giving Kamala this job. The Federal Gun Violence Prevention Office. We talked about this yesterday. They're having a little Rose Garden shindig for it. I know. It's like putting me in charge of, you know, the Ministry of Football. Gosh, that would be hysterical. Your uniforms would be fantastic, I have to say. NFL uniform rugs would be sweet. Stay with us. Whole other hour on the way.
There was footage yesterday of Border Patrol cutting some of the razor wire that Texas had installed. Governor Abbott has vowed to reinstall it. They have his border czar has pictures of people taking fresh razor wire out to the border to reinstall it. Is there now a federal policy of removing the barriers that Texas is installing?
So here's what I'll say. I would have to look into that. I did see those reports yesterday, but as it relates to Governor Abbott, we know what he has done these past couple of years while this president has been in office. He's turned this, when it comes to the border, he's turned this into a political stunt.
Oh,
and
my
that's
gosh.
What he's done over and over again. That's what I can speak to. I did see those reports. I would have to go back and get a sense from the team and give you an answer on that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to need a moment here. It's barely noon. Oh, my gosh. You know, Lord, please grant me that serenity to accept it. Amen. All right, so welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. That's Karine Jean-Pierre. It's a political stunt, apparently. If it's a stunt, then why are you so mad? If it's a stunt, then why are you taking it down?
Right.
You know, if it's a stunt. I mean, you got people flooding into the country by the hundreds of thousands at this point. This is crazy. And this idea that it's a stunt is, I don't know what. A stunt is going down like AOC, standing on the other side of a chain link fence and pretending that you're crying. That's a stunt. You know, having to put up wire to stop people from entering the country illegally, that's trying to enforce the law that the administration doesn't want to enforce. And for her to call it a stunt, it sure as hell doesn't feel like a stunt to the people who live down there, who have to deal with cartel members and coyotes trespassing on their property, armed to the teeth, human trafficking. It sure as hell doesn't feel like a stunt to the children who are caught up in all this trafficking. Sure hell doesn't feel like a stunt to the young women who are raped by the cartels and the coyotes that are bringing them across the border. Sure as hell doesn't feel like a stunt to the Border Patrol agents that got to fish 10-year-olds out of the Rio because they drowned trying to cross at the invitation of this administration. Sure as hell doesn't feel like a stunt So a lot of the law enforcement, the guardsmen and customs and border patrol that are working 12, 13, 14, 15 hour shifts because there's not enough of them, because nobody wants to do a thankless job where you're demonized by the administration and told that your horse's reins are whips. That sure as hell doesn't feel like a stunt to all those people. You know, I bet it didn't feel like a stunt either to the Border Patrol agent I talked to a couple of years ago when I was down in McAllen, who came across a child who was about the age of 11 or 12 that had cerebral palsy and had been just thrown along with a ratty, rusty old wheelchair on the bank of the Rio. There were photos that I saw on that they had because they thought nobody would believe them. It didn't feel like a stunt to him when he ran across this child in the heat. And after getting him to a facility, you know, this kid didn't probably consent to being taken over the border illegally. Couldn't have done it on his own. That border agent just broke down privately. Didn't feel like a stunt to them. You know who it feels like a stunt to and from, though? Feels like a stunt from all the people in Washington, D.C., people like Joe Biden, people like Karine Jean-Pierre, people like Kamala Harris, people like all these individuals that show up day in and day out to Congress with a D after their name, and they talk such a good game about caring for the poor and caring for the unwashed masses and caring for the people who are just looking for better opportunities, and they cite the Statue of Liberty inscription as though that's not just a quote, that it's actual law. Doesn't feel like a stunt. That's when it actually feels like a stunt. When they sit here and they talk about how much they care, but they don't do anything to alleviate the pressure on all the people who have to deal with the promises that they make. The stunt is just that. It's these politicians making promises that they have no intention of keeping themselves. They farm it out to everyone else because it's so easy to look like you're a humanitarian when everybody else is doing the work. It's so easy to look like you care when everyone else is giving the work. It's so easy to look like you're generous when it's everyone else's dollars that you're using to pay for it. It's so easy to claim that you're a sanctuary when you never actually mean for the people who you claim want sanctuary. You don't actually think they're going to get past, you know, Texas and get all the way so far up into the interior that they end up in Martha's Vineyard. That's the stunt. The stunt is the Democrat Party acting like it gives a damn about anybody other than their own registered members. It is the stunt is acting like they really care about any of this beyond getting votes. And that's what this is. Speaking of which, Joe Biden was talking about some of this and this audio that Kane has. Because when you read between the lines, it's kind of what it is. Listen to this.
I mean it. First, we put in place policies that process people in a fair and fast way. Second, we're significantly expanding legal pathways for entry so businesses can get the workers they need. Families don't have to wait for a decade to be together. I've also directed my team to make a historic increase in the number of refugees admitted from Latin America. People fleeing violence and persecution who simply want their kids to have a better life. Next week, my team will consult with Congress on this plan.
Okay, so why is it not kids coming over? Why is it just young men? It's always young military age men that are coming over. Why is it that in all of the video and the footage you see, whether it's in El Paso, whether it's in Eagle Pass, whether it's in RGV, no matter where it is, or if it's in Tucson, why is it that they're all young men? Not a single woman amongst them, not a single child amongst them. Is it just the men that are dealing with the violence and all of that stuff like Biden is saying? Is that what it is? It's just the men? It's just young men. It always seems to be. So the women and children, just to hell with them? Because they're not included in any of this. Notice what he said, too. Oh, you know, so you can have workers. Notice how, also, in addition to that, who was it? It's like people like Dianne Feinstein, all kinds of Democrats are on record talking about, oh, well, working, doing jobs, etc. That's how they think. It's that plantation mindset of the Democrat Party. They have never left it. I hear stuff like that, and I have to shake my head. I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? But it's votes. You know the thing, too, is I really don't think that Hispanic Americans and people who are immigrating from whether it's coming in from Mexico or South America or whatever, naturally, they don't really align with the left. They don't align with Democrats. I mean, they're leaving countries where Democrat policies have literally been followed to their natural conclusion. That's what it's like in Venezuela. And Democrats bend over backwards with a narrative war to try to convince people that it's opposite. Except Cubans. They don't want Cubans to come over. Why didn't they? That's the thing. Like, you want to talk about people fleeing. Women and children actually do flee Cuba. But remember, the Biden administration said, no, y'all can't come in. You got to go back. Y'all vote Republican too damn much. You hate statism too much. Nah, no Cubans. That actually happened last year. Look it up. My gosh. Yeah, they don't play. Cubans won't play at that. Really? I don't think Venezuelans do either. You would think so. I have several friends who were born and raised in Venezuela, and none of them are like that. They are very, very conservative, to the point where they make National Review look like a communist publication. I don't know. But I do think that highlighting the disregard for law and order at the border at the hands of this administration has been working for the right. It's been working for Republicans. And I'm not talking about for political tit for tat either. I'm not talking about just for a political argument. I mean, it's really bad. I don't think people realize this. Do you know how many individuals, like, for instance, let's just think about this. There's some friends of ours. They're an older child who's a little older than even my oldest child. I mean, they were involved in an accident. Their car was totaled. Thankfully, everybody was okay. Their child had only minor injuries, but they, you know, they still have to grapple with some stuff. But it was somebody who was here illegally with a fake ID. That's the other thing that people don't realize. I mean, there's more than one way that this actually affects people. And there are so many stories like that. It has nothing to do with just political one-upsmanship or gamesmanship. It is really bad. It's really bad at the border. We have a listener in RGV area, and they live on the border. I mean, literally on the border. Their land abuts the Rio. And they have grandkids and that, and they're terrified. I first met them at a book signing when I was down in McAllen, Texas, when my first book was out. I met them. Kind of stayed in touch, you know. And they, you know, they're older. I don't want to give anybody's names or anything like that, and out of respect for their privacy. But they've shared that, you know, they have beautiful land. They want their grandkids to, you know, they when they first came and immigrated legally to the area and bought property and were building their family life, you know, they had this vision of, you know, their grandkids growing up on this land and, you know, playing in the streams and running around and, you know, with bikes and shooting guns and all this other stuff, having fun, just, you know, enjoying nature. And they're like, we're afraid to let our kids and dogs outside at our grandkids that go outside at night to play. We're afraid to check livestock at night because, I mean, they have pathways, literal, actual worn paths on their land from where people have been illegally crossing. And they found, I guess, the baggies that you wrap drugs in to keep them waterproof and all this other stuff. I mean, they find like that kind of, and they have to call the feds out. They have to call the police and then they have to bring agents out. And it's like a whole big thing. I mean, this is a part of their life that they live in. Your home is what's supposed to be your sanctuary. And that's been violated for them. And they brought up a really good point. You know, he's an older gentleman, and he was like, you know, that's the thing. My home is my sanctuary. And when all these people talk about, when Democrats talk about sanctuary states, they ignore the sanctuary, the home, and the security of the home and neighborhood of all of these people here in the United States. I'm like, that's a great point. Can you imagine, like, not even, like, being too afraid to either go out early in the morning or, you know, at dusk at your house, because that's when literal cartel activity ramps up and the federal government doesn't do anything. Oh, and by the way, they also are afraid to go out, not because they're worried about, I mean, they're all, yes, they're worried about being attacked. But the other thing is, do you remember the rancher that got in trouble because he was defending himself and his elderly wife against cartel activity, and they tried to charge him with murder. That's the other thing. So, to my point, this isn't about political gamesmanship. This is about, it is that bad. And people who don't live in border states, they may not realize it until they get a busload of people who entered illegally showing up in their town, and they have no idea who these people are. They have no idea where they came from. It's impossible to vet them. You have no idea if they have criminal records. You have no idea if they're actual cartel members. You have no idea about any of it. And they're all younger dudes. They're all dudes between the ages of like 18 and 35. They're all dudes. Not a single woman or child. And you always hear, that's why you don't hear a lot about, oh, well, the schools feel overburdened and all. Because it's all dudes that are coming in. Adult men. And the stunt is Democrats pretending to care. Now we have more to come. Coming up, Scott Pressler is going to join us. He is the founder and executive director of Early Vote Action. You probably have seen a lot of his stuff online. I don't know why the Republican Party doesn't pattern their outreach after what he's doing. He's going to places where Republicans don't normally go. And he's registering people to vote. He's not coercing them. He's not handing out gift cards. He's not doing any of that. He's just talking to people and engaging people, you know, like how should be done. We're going to talk to him because I think what he's doing is really greatly under-acknowledged in this country.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't like this. I mean, is every natural disaster to have hit apparently comes after the sighting of this ominous, what they call an earthquake fish. It's an oar fish. And they spotted it floating off the coast of Taiwan in July. So now everyone's freaking out. It's it needs to go back down to the depths where it came from. Go back to your home. It's like 8 foot long and it's silver scales. It looks like it had been in a shark attack or something prior. But it's a giant oar fish and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that means something bad's going to happen. So just FYI, if something bad does happen, remember that I told you about this oar fish. I don't know, man. I just tell you the news. Also, this, pull this up. This is a story. The Pentagon is going to exempt its Ukraine operations because, you know, they got another, what is it, $23 billion or $23 billion package going. The Pentagon is going to exempt its Ukraine operations from a potential shutdown if lawmakers can agree on a deal to fund the government, per Politico. Typically, military activities stop unless it's deemed critical to national security. So, and three quarters of Americans report leaving gratuity, which is at least 10% higher when presented with hated checkout screens, and a third admitting they feel pressure to pay extra. I don't. I totally do not at all. We got more on the way. Scott Pressler is going to join us next. Stay with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. And of course, you can listen coast to coast terrestrially on an affiliate near you. And you can stream the radio show and you can watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, and channel 347 DirecTV. Your lovable curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you, bottom of the second hour. We've talked a lot about it prior. I haven't really jumped into it yet. Well, too heavily yet going into 2024 about the importance of getting out the vote and getting involved in your area and just looking. We talked a little bit about actually early voting, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And Democrats always have this crazy head start. And then you always have the October surprise that drops. And the crazy thing is that the October surprise drops, but yet there's a significant number of people whose votes would have been seriously impacted, probably gone the other way, that, you know, they go out and they wait till the last minute, or they wait till they I think on election day, if it's like the lines are too long or if it's too crazy, they don't show. I don't know. I have problems with the way that Republicans handle this. And Republicans don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to do anything about it. What is the RNC planning for 2024? Democrats are out there registering everybody right now. What is the RNC doing? The only person who I can see doing anything actually isn't with the RNC. It's Scott Pressler. And you can find him at Scott Pressler on Twitter. Early Vote Action is his organization. And he rightfully says that it's time for Republicans to fight back. Scott, I got to tell you, you're like a folk hero because you're going out there and you're doing the stuff that the RNC should be doing. I don't know why they're not patterning what they're doing in some of these battleground states after what you're doing in state after state, because you're going out, you're registering people to vote. And you're also saying, look, in the areas where you can do XYZ, where you can vote earlier, you can do, you know, deal with ballots harvesting or whatever. If they're going to make it legal, go out and let's get people registered. Go out and vote. Why would you give somebody such a head start? So kudos to you for doing this. I mean, it is a very thankless job because I don't think that you get the recognition that you deserve for it. Why did you decide to punish yourself by starting this?
Well, number one, thank you for having me. I'm always tweeting with that husband of yours, and I'm so glad to be here on the Dana Lash Show. You know, I created Early Vote Action in part because of 2022. It was supposed to be a red tsunami. It was supposed to be a resounding defeat to Joe Biden and the Democrats and all the reckless policies that they've been instituting since he was elected in 2020. And we didn't have it. And in part because look at Arizona with Carrie Lake. The machines factually go down on what day?
Election day.
Nevada, Adam Laxalt, he loses by 8,000 votes. It snows in Washoe County in Reno, Nevada on what day? Election day. And in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, a Republican county, and in Harris County, Texas, the most populous county in the state of Texas, they run out of paper ballots on what day?
Election day.
And so it's my argument that, look, I know that everybody watching the Dana Lash Show right now, you may be hesitant to do early voting, or you may think that the Democrats are going to know how many votes that they need in order to win the election. But the fact of the matter is, guys, if we wait to vote on one day, election day in November of 2024, I feel personally that Joe Biden has already won re-election. We must do early in-person voting. We must vote by mail. And in states like Nevada, where it's legal, we must engage in legal ballot harvesting if we're going to be successful this year and beyond.
That's a really good point that you make. We're talking with Scott Pressler, and the website is earlyvoteaction.com. Because, and I like how you said, because I'm like, oh, let's just go on ballot harvest. You're like, well, you know, where it's legal, let's do legal ballot harvesting. But you make a really good point with this. This is a big issue in my family because I'm not going to identify who it is, but it's a grandparent in my family. And they are very much like, I go and I vote on election day. That's what I've always done. But, you know, like you said, in Nevada, they have this, they had a snowstorm. And then in Lucerne, they had issues on election day. And it's very interesting that, you know, these are in counties that are Democrat operated that are supposed to keep all of this stuff up and make sure that there's paper ballots. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is left to chance. And I agree with you that. What do I tell, though, the grandparent of my family that I'm constantly like going, I'm like, where it's legal, do it. If you can go and do it, then do it.
Well, I want to touch on a couple of things. Number one, look, I just want people to vote. I do. I want you to vote. So grandparent of Dana Lash, you know, if you want to go vote on election day or do your thing, I'm so happy about that. But look, in Nevada, I said to you that 8,000 voters was the reason deciding why he didn't win the election. 150,000 registered Nevada Republicans didn't vote in 2022. Election was winnable. So the fact of the matter is, to the person listening, we have the votes. We have the number that we need in order to win. But the Democrats are just so much better about getting out the vote. And I'm going to New Jersey next week because we have state legislative elections and we have the opportunity to take over the General Assembly and stop Democratic Governor Murphy. But here's the thing. Jack Chattarelli lost by nearly 70,000 votes. In Bergen County alone, 75,000 Republicans did not vote in 2021.
Oh my gosh.
The governorship. And furthermore, because you touched on this point, Dana, I'm in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania right now, and we have the opportunity to take the Supreme Court seat, electing Judge Carolyn Carluccio to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court this November. But here's the thing. Going into the first and only debate in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania between John Fetterman and Dr. Oz in 2022, 500,000 Pennsylvanians had already voted before they saw the debacle of a debate performance between Fetterman and Oz. And 4 out of 5 of those voters were registered Democrats. So the Democrats were going into Election Day with a bank of at least 400,000 Democratic voters. And so, guys, if we're going to be this successful this year and beyond, we must have an all-of-the-above approach to voting.
We're talking with Scott Pressler. You can find him on Twitter at Scott Pressler, and I, or X now, it's now X. You make such a great point because it's turnout. I remember the special election for the Senate seat in Georgia, and I was looking at the turnout. We had a lot. We have a lot of affiliates in Georgia, and I was looking at the turnout. I was getting some of these numbers from, you know, the Secretary of State's office, et cetera, and I was going through, and in some of the most the reddest districts in that state, there was such a low turnout because you're right. We have the numbers. We have the registered voters, but why is it that that's always the thing that gets us? Why do Republicans not turn up?
Well, it's a couple reasons. I mean, maybe one, they don't like the candidate, or maybe they, two, they feel like their vote doesn't count, or maybe three, they feel like the election is going to be rigged against our favor. But look at what we did in 2022. We took the House. We won in New York, on Long Island, in Brooklyn, of all places. We won in California, guys. We elected Valadao, we kept Young Kim, we kept Michelle Steele, we even flipped a democratically controlled seat with Duarte. And my argument to y'all, in addition to us winning the governorship in Nevada, by the way, which is in play in 2024, the fact of the matter is we won in places that we shouldn't have won. And in part, it's because we engaged in early voting. We did legal ballot harvesting, and it was using every tool legally to our advantage that won us the House of Representatives in 2022.
Why is the RNC not reaching out to you?
That's a great question. You know, today is day 161 consecutively that I've reached out to Chairwoman McDaniel. But you know what? I believe in leading by example. I'm not going to tell people to do something that I wouldn't do myself. And that's why I'm going out door knocking in New Jersey. And that's why I visited Penn State College at State College to register new Republican Gen Z voters. And so at earlyvoteaction.com, we're not going to wait for the RNC. We're not going to wait for the GOP to do things that it should be doing. We are going to take control. And I hope that if you are inspired by seeing me on the Dana Lash Show right now and you want to take action, you please visit us at earlyvoteaction.com. And I will set you up either with my application to knock on doors or writing letters to new movers in the state of Kentucky so we can elect Daniel Cameron as the next governor. But I will put you to work.
I love this. Scott Pressler is like the Johnny Appleseed of voter registration. He really is. I mean, you need to be actually, I think, the RNC chair instead of just them calling you. I think you need to run the RNC because you're getting results. You're getting people. I mean, in the way that he rolls all these names of all these elected officials off his tongue, doesn't even matter if it's California, Nevada. No, I mean, I know people in the RNC who can't do that. I mean, you are so plugged in and you're doing this and you have the heart for it. So people can go to earlyvoteaction.com, would encourage them to do so. What is one thing? What's like one message that you want to leave in the minds of the people watching one thing that you would tell them before we go into this weekend?
I want you to be hopeful. I want you to be optimistic about the future. I want you to know that freedom is worth fighting for. Our country is worth fighting for. And for every single one of you that has babies or future babies or grandchildren, just know that this fight is for them. And I hope that you will do everything in your power to make sure that this November we win in Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia. And that momentum this November is going to lead us to helping to defeat Joe Biden and make him a one-term president next year.
That needs to happen. Scott Pressler, earlyvoteaction.com. Scott, you do such great work. And I hope that it does not go unappreciated. And I hope you know that. It does not go unappreciated. Thank you so much for what you do. And it's so good to talk with you. We'll talk with you again soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Take care. Have a great weekend. You can go to earlyvoteaction.com and get signed up, get set up with that. And he is like the Johnny Appleseed of voter registration. But nobody said, and he makes a really good vote for early voting because that's a thing. And, you know, in our family, I like to vote on election day, except when, you know, sometimes I'll have to be in New York on election day or I have to cover this or this. And, you know, I'll go in and I'll early vote like the week before. And I have seen like the Nevada thing. That was crazy because you had storms and all of this stuff. And there were people who were trying to get out and vote. But he makes a great point in that Democrats have thousands of votes banked up already going into Election Day because of the ballot harvesting, legal ballot harvesting, because of early voting, and that you've got to also keep in mind that this is a numbers game. It is very much a numbers game, and it is so insanely winnable. It's crazy. Democrats, I think, hope and pray, maybe some of the time that some of them ever pray, they hope and pray that Republicans don't copy their methods of getting out the vote or be as aggressive as they are in getting out the vote. I'm not kidding you. In Georgia, the special election was not lost because the special election was not stolen. The special election was not lost because Democrats outwitted Republicans. It was because Republicans stayed home. In Texas, the voter turnout in a very conservative district was abysmal, and it actually contributed to a Democrat getting more votes than a Republican for Senate, which hadn't happened in that district before in 40-something years, something crazy. Wild. It's wild. This is what you have to think of in looking at all of this. One of the reasons why they had historic, they flipped the entire Florida, which literally has been a swing state, because Republicans were registered and they went out to vote and they showed up. We have the numbers. We already won. It's just getting people out, getting them out to vote. So Scott Pressler is just doing such, I honestly do not know anybody who puts the time in like he does. And he doesn't, I mean, he's not like, some of these people that run some of these nonprofits and that, it's interesting. They start showing up in designer duds and stuff. He's not like that. He really believes this. I mean, he wants to win this.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh my gosh. So, all right. I told you before, my youngest son has like a list of rules that we've kept since he was a kid, right? Because he says some of the funniest things. And one of those is, if you're going to stretch, do it privately. It's a saying that he has. Well, this headline goes right into with that. Florida woman allegedly attacked two people at the pool for doing inappropriate stretches. This story is just buckle up. Amanda Ferragamo, 41, not of that Ferragamo family, was arrested in Sumter County, Florida after the incident early Sunday morning. The female victim told deputies she and a male victim were doing stretches when Ferragamo smacked them and shoved them both. She stated that the defendant accused them both of doing inappropriate activities and began to shove her and smacked her across the face. The female victim had a red mark on her face. The 41-year-old woman, who, she's got a crazy jawline, I gotta say. That's a strong jaw. That is an unaltered photo. She looked very pleased with herself in her mugshot. The male victim told a deputy, quote, "She blanking attacked us. She's blanked." The deputy said that the female had a red mark on her face. Apparently, I don't know if they are, I guess they were speculating as to whether or not they were connected, Ferragamo and the man. But yeah, they were stretching and they were attacked as, you know, because stretching is something you should do privately. I guess she's one of those people who believe that. I don't know. Let's see. Did you guys hear this story or see this story? This had to do with a bunch of Florida women who were tossing a baby around before a fight broke out.
What?
Dude, it was in Daytona Beach at the Coyote Ugly Bar. A 20-year-old, a 19-year-old, they were both arrested with charged with child abuse. They had a child back and forth while standing. They were throwing it back and forth while standing 4 feet apart. Apparently, the child was turned upside down as well. It's a baby. And they have like video of it. And then I don't even know what they're fighting about. And I don't know why they're all in underwear. And it's, before you rush to Google the story, some of you, that's not attractive. It's always the people who are in underwear out in the street that really have no business being in underwear anywhere but the privacy of their own room for the sake of all of our retinas. And I guess they were all drunk and they all got into a fight. The baby apparently had a broken arm. I have no idea what in the world? How does this even happen? They were like slapping each other. I guess one of them was getting into a fight and they were holding the baby sideways like a bag of potatoes. I don't know. It is wild. I'm trying to figure that one out. A man tries to hide meth in his McDonald's breakfast sandwich during a traffic stop, say police, WFLA. A bag of meth was found inside a half-eaten McDonald's breakfast sandwich. during a traffic stop in Oklahoma, according to police. An officer with the Catoosa Police Department pulled over a Mitchell Raper. R-A-P-E-R. I don't think it's Rapier. For a traffic violation, Mr. Raper. The officer smelled marijuana coming from the car. They deployed K-9, and then that's when K-9 Melton discovered the meth in a coin purse sandwiched between the sausage patty and the bread. And by the way, it is so obvious. It's because this biscuit's half eaten, and it's basically a biscuit on top of a larger coin purse. It's so bad. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
There was civility. We could disagree. We could have healthy conversations around what's best for kids. I respect differences of opinion. I don't have too much respect for people that are misbehaving in public and then acting as if they know what's right for kids.
He's talking about parents here. That's Miguel Cardona, who's the education secretary. There's nobody misbehaving. Who is he talking about who's misbehaving at these school board meetings? Who is he talking about here? Welcome back to the show. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen across the country. Make sure that you check out the streaming as well. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV, Substack, Chapter and Verse. Go sign up. He doesn't have respect for parents. There aren't parents who are misbehaving at school board meetings. Who is he talking about?
They act like they know what. They act like they know what about kids.
Yeah, they're parents. Who are you? Who's this guy sitting here telling me I can't be involved in my kid's life? Or that parents lose authority over their kids once their kids walk their school doors? I think you got this situation messed up here, Slick. I think you got it. I think you got it a little bit backwards. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? I'm going to tell you what, parents back in the day would not, like our grandparents and our parents, can you imagine like a 1970s parent dealing with this? Somebody gets slapped. Somebody would get slapped. Flip-flop off. Not even playing with this. It's different today. Everybody's worried about hurting everybody else's feelings. No. There's nobody who's been misbehaving at school board meetings. Nobody. I'm not even quite sure what he's talking about here. You know, or think they act like they know. Yeah, well, they are parents. There's this pervasive idea amongst a lot of people on the left, most of the left, where government exists to help you out and to, you know, from cradle to grave, and that all the authorities know better than you, especially about your kids. It's just not true. Where's Smod? Speaking of Smod, I need to come back to this. Can we talk about this oar fish real quick? Yeah. Oar fish. I'm not saying orifice, although that'd be a funny way to say it. So I got to intersperse some of the politics here or we're all going to go mad. So there's this oar fish, they say. It's a rare creature, widely believed to be the harbinger of natural disasters. It's said to appear before tsunamis and earthquakes. And apparently, off the coast of Taiwan in July, the earthquake fish was seen floating off the coast. What? Yes. The oar fish, or the giant oar fish, a.k.a. doomsday fish. It is ugly. I don't even know. They discovered it in July 20th this year. They discovered this giant. So there's this myth with it that it is it's like a doomsday harbinger. So like what? So, okay, here's my question with this. What's a grace period before like the doom comes, right? What is that? Like you see the oar fish is like a week, a couple weeks, couple months. Like what's the, is there some scientific, is there like a timeline? Apparently it's a giant herring, isn't it?
It looks like it.
Yeah. It's known as the king of herrings. It's gross. It's really a gross looking fish. I don't know. Some say that there's no, they said that they could not, according to Forbes, one set of researchers said they couldn't find any reports of a 6.0 or greater magnitude quake happening within 10 days of a deep sea fish sighting. They said the oar fish legend is really compelling, but there's no scientific reason to think we can use... Shh, I don't care about your science anymore because your science says that a dude can chop off his willy and be a chick. So I don't know. I'm just going to go with the oarfish myth. What's happening? Smod on the way? What's up? Now, we were talking about harsh winters, too, because my parents and my grandparents had all these old-timey things that they trusted. It's like Calvin Ball rules of nature. And my mom lives by the Farmer's Almanac. Well, what's the Farmer's Almanac say? She's like, that's way more precise than the meteorologist and all this other stuff. So a friend of mine, their dad went out and cut a persimmon off their tree. And they cut it in half. So apparently the myth with a persimmon is that if there's a spoon in it, when you cut it in half, then that means you're going to be shoveling a lot of snow this winter. Is that what that means, Kane? So you that and then the, what is the other one? The woolly caterpillar?
The woolly worm, yeah.
The woolly worm.
The woolly bear caterpillar.
So if it's like real woolly, uninterrupted color, then that means it's going to be a bad winter too?
Yeah. If there's a really small middle, like there's usually like a rust sort of color and then it's dark on both ends. So if that rust middle is longer, the more mild the winter. But if that rust middle is much shorter, then there's supposed to be a harsh winter.
So when my friend's dad cut into the persimmon that they pulled off the tree, it had on one side, when they cut it in half, it was a knife shape, and the other side, it was a spoon. That means it's going to be an icy cold winter with a lot of snow to shovel.
Yep.
I mean, according to the persimmon theory. Is that
pretty accurate? I would say the Farmer's Almanac is probably more accurate.
Don't they talk about that stuff?
What
in
we
there?
See on TV meteorology.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's trends to it for sure. Now I feel like I need to get one. I feel like I need a. Do you have one?
What, a persimmon tree or a
no?
Or
like
a
the literally
almanac.
The Farmer's Almanac. Yeah.
No, I don't. I used to have one.
My mom used to give me one every year.
In the early aughts,
I guess she didn't love me anymore. She stopped. Yeah, she like lives by this thing. My grandpa had like cattle and all that stuff, so he like went. I think all the farmers and all that, obviously Farmer's Almanac. But yeah, she's like, you can apply this you know to now. You can apply it. It's it comes out every year. So they have the 23-24. Apparently, it's going to be unseasonably cold and stormy. That's I guess what we're getting where we are, Kane.
Yeah. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah. So ice. I'm glad I got my generator. Yay. Anyway, we had to talk because I can't get over this oarfish thing. I kind of want that to be true, like the myth of it, right? It's this weird, gross worm. It's a worm, really, isn't it? A wormfish, herring, whatever.
Yeah.
Is so keep in mind, Kane, we saw it July, or it came up in June, July, June, whatever.
July, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So we're on the clock for some doom. Yeah. When's it coming?
Yeah, we are.
Just waiting. And we're going to have an icy cold winter with a lot of snow to shovel, according to the persimmons. Isn't that what that little hairy pig saw? Groundhog. Isn't that what that groundhog saw?
I don't know. He sees shadows, I think.
Do you remember what the groundhog thing, what it saw this year, Steve? Hang on. It's Friday, guys. We're doing this. Groundhog.
Well, that was back in February, so
mm-hmm.
That would have predicted how we exited winter. I think.
Oh, apparently he saw his shadow. The furry pig saw its shadow, so he predicted six more. So yeah, all indications gonna be a bad winter. So if you like cold and ice and you know misery in general, yay for you! You're gonna have a good horrible winter. Yay! Right when energy prices are gonna increase.
Oh yeah.
Yay! Gas is gonna be expensive. Heating your home is gonna be expensive. Yay! Steve says his acorn theory is a myth. Steve, what's your acorn theory?
Now, my grandma always told me that if there was a lot of acorns, that more acorns that fell normally, like in your driveway, then it would be a harsh winter. So I just tried to look it up, and there was like a whole bold thing, and I was like, that is not true.
I'm going to tell my kids that you can tell that it's going to be a harsh winter when you see squirrels out in Patagonia jackets. Means it's going to be a harsh winter.
Right.
If you see squirrels out in little Patagonia, little Patagonia squirrel jackets, it's going to be a harsh winter. The persimmon thing looks cool though. But and dude, check it. So the Channel 5 affiliate in our hometown, Kane.
Yeah. KSDK.
It said snowy winter coming from Missouri. Persimmon seeds say.
Oh.
Oh. There it is. So
there's something to it. I mean, there is something to
all these people cutting in their persimmons, and they're all seeing the same thing. Spoons and knives. What? Cold winter, because the knife is, it's supposed to be cutting cold winter, and the spoon is like the shovel. That's why they think. So so get prepared for a bad winter. I'm just going to go ahead and start stocking up on a couple everyday items, you know. Just start doing that now. Yeah. And I don't know, like, now I really do want to make, we have a generator. Now I want to make sure I get a propane tank. Bobby, it's clean burning fuel. Get some clean burning fuel right there. Because everything is going to be so expensive. Think about it. The Saudis are still controlling the reduced production. You got President McUnity, Daddy Showers Can't Talk, who suspended those leases in Alaska. They're trying to push everyone to the whole Green New Deal. It's going to be expensive. And he's focusing on what? Oh, that's right, gun violence prevention. They need an election issue. They need something. Give them something. They're having their, Kane, when is this? Their Rose Garden ceremony is expected to take place after we get off air.
The White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to be like a glorified cabal of gun control people. This is after, and we talked about this earlier this week, it came out last year that these gun control activists actually colluded with the CDC to have the CDC remove their defensive gun usage statistics, to delete that so that people couldn't look and see, because the gun control folks said that it impeded their efforts to restrict your Second Amendment rights. So they have their White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. I want to know how much this is going to cost taxpayers. And it's full of literally gun control activists who know nothing literally about guns. Nothing. And she said that, she tweeted this out this morning. She goes, because you marched, organized, and voted, we passed the most significant gun safety legislation in 30 years. What is she talking about? What did they pass? All I've seen are executive orders and ATF directives. They haven't passed anything. You know, every election, this is always like at the bottom of the issue of concerns when including amongst Democrats, when they survey Democrats. But they're not serious about this. They're not serious about this because first off, it's just a back pat to the gun control groups that have supported them. But secondly, they're not serious about this because this doesn't have to do with law-abiding people owning firearms. This has to do with repeat offenders getting back out on the street. I mean, for crying out loud, Nike closed for forever. What, in Portland? Where Nike was invented, where they first launched, they have now shut their doors entirely because of the crime. It's not safe for them to remain open. I mean, that's just insane. But that's the restorative justice. That's their law. That's their idea of lawlessness and disorder.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I keep seeing this headline different places, and I'm trying to, I mean, I don't know, I guess it's true, maybe? So this guy was on social media saying that if you're in a public bathroom and you see, like, tiny specks, like, on the side of the toilet, like, the toilet paper that's in the little plastic thing, you take it off, and it's a little circle toilet paper in there, and looks like there's marks in it. He says that's where drug users are wiping off their needles. So be careful with restroom toilet paper. I don't like public restrooms anyway because, no, I just don't. That's where I have not lost my germophobia with that at all. What is Skeeter syndrome? We have a whole bunch of gross stuff today. Welts caused by Skeeter syndrome. Is it a mosquito bite or is it Skeeter syndrome? So they say, according to Cleveland Clinic, it's the allergic reaction marked by significant inflammation. So if you have, you know, like a welt that doesn't, from a mosquito bite that doesn't go away, oh my gosh, you big babies, that happens from time to time. Just put some Benadryl on it. Why are you making that face?
It's definitely not because of the vaccine or for COVID or any of that stuff.
Wait, do you think?
I think that your immune system has been, you know,
only if you get the clot
compromised
shot.
From the shot
get all the clot shots.
Or from COVID itself.
I don't know. Some people, I think, do get this, but it's just your body's dealing with a mosquito bite. It's not like a thing. An incurable dog disease is on the rise, and now apparently 3 humans have caught it. This is terrifying. So they said it's Brucella canis is a bacterial infection. It can spread through bodily fluids, transmitted to humans. People can manifest the symptoms like a fever, malaise, you know, an enlarged spleen, or swollen lymph nodes. It is incurable in dogs. And in the UK, they've been recommending to people euthanasia. Humans can be treated with a long course of antibiotics. So wait a minute, if humans can be treated with antibiotics, then why can't dogs?
No, you just gotta kill them.
What? Like, what in the world? Like, there was one woman in it, and they said that it spreads in fluids, in reproductive fluids, and can be transmitted to humans. But they said that that before 2020, the UK had only 3 recorded cases in dogs. There was one woman who said that she was told she should put her five dogs down because they had it. But again, we go back to, if humans can be treated with antibiotics, then why can't dogs? I don't know. Chinese women are using a fake belly button sticker to make their legs look longer. You've heard that right. It's a curious trend going on in China right now, and it's weird. It's a fake belly button sticker that is used to make, and it does not look at all like that. That's weird. That's so weird. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, this is definitely a very serious situation for the city of Eagle Pass. We're a city of about 28,000 to 30,000 people, and the last couple days we've had in excess of 5,000 people cross from Piedras Negras, Mexico, into Eagle Pass, Texas. It's become a big concern for the community. A lot of people are frustrated. A lot of these people are being let loose in the community, walking around, and it's just a big concern for the city of Eagle Pass. Not only safety-wise, but also our local economy is taking a hit because of this crisis, we've had to shut down bridge number one, our international bridge, with so many millions of dollars flow through this bridge. We depend on the tolls of the people that pay those bridge tolls. And it's just an emergency situation. That is why, as mayor for the city of Eagle Pass, I decided to declare a state of emergency for our city, because we've never seen this before. This is not normal, and we shouldn't have to be going through a situation like this in the United States or here in Eagle Pass.
He's right. He is absolutely right. Mayor Eagle Pass, who's telling it as it is. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour on Friday with you, Dana Lash, here. He is right. That's brand new audio coming in. Thousands of people. This has been a banner week. What did they say? They already broke. Oh, I'm going through my mental Rolodex. They already broke the record of illegal entries, illegal crossings in 24 hours, right? And it looks like, because the previous, I think, was it 2020? That was the previous record. I think now it's going to be a new record, probably a new record at the conclusion of this year. I mean, it's just, it's too much. It's too much for these towns. It's too much for these people to deal with. And, I mean, without any help without the federal government needs to allow states to do what they do, to do what they can do instead of fighting them and using taxpayer dollars to litigate it. 'Cause that's all they've been doing. Good heavens. It's horrible. And they said, who was it? Griff Jenkins was down there this morning. He said they were fishing somebody out of the river that drowned. Because not all of the area, as we've told you, not every area is, you know, really easy to cross. I mean, the part of where they're at, of that sector, there's a very deep with serious currents, etc. It's like that in RGV as well, but then elsewhere it can be, you know, you literally can walk across it. KJP was asked about this by Peter Ducey. This is about, 45 minutes ago? Because they keep saying they're stopping the flow. They keep saying, but it doesn't sound like that when you listen to Mayor Salinas. It doesn't sound like him that they're stopping the flow. This is what Ducey was asking KJP. This was literally like 45 minutes ago. Listen to this.
When you spoke last month, yeah, and you said
We are stopping the flow at the border. Is 10,000 migrants in a single day stopping the flow?
What I will say is, I just mentioned 250 individuals have been stopped who do not have the legal pathway from coming in. That has been since May 12th. And as we are, you know, looking at Eagle Pass, and I know this is where the issue is at the time at the moment. You know, CBP quickly surged resources and personnel to the area, and thanks to their great work, we're able to swiftly vetted and processed into custody more than 2,500 individuals and cleared the area where migrants had congregated. And that's the work of our law enforcement. That's the work of our law enforcement at the border. Remember, House Republicans are trying to cut that. They're trying to cut that.
How are they trying to cut it? You're the one who does. Your administration didn't want to fund it. And you're falsely trying to say that given, you know, a pittance to it, just so you don't have to have the debate about funding the border again in the future. You're trying to act like that's enough. Republicans are simply saying this has to be fully funded because this is a national security issue. And you can't keep running from it. Instead, they want to spend, I mean, how much did we just give Ukraine again? Was it 23, 24 billion? This is last night it came out. Yeah, they approved another package. And they it's not going to be a clean bill where it's, oh, this is easy to vote for. Right. This is going to be an easy thing to consider. No, they always tie up a bunch of garbage in it. Every time. That's what they do. They tie up stuff in it and then accuse Republicans of, oh, you don't want to pass it. And while they actually send people to literally cut fencing at the border. That's vandalism. They should be charged for that. Yep. It's vandalism. Goodness. And I mean, it's Republicans and Democrats that are involved in this. If you're being honest about it, you ought to look at some of the financing for this Colony Ridge, that illegal immigration subdivision that's cropped up. That's bigger than some of the cities like talking about some of the cities that it's in Arkansas, North Carolina. It's a huge sprawling development. It's its own little city, and it has its, you know, cartel influence, and there's crime that's taking place there. And it's people who are making up Colony Ridge, according to some of these investigative reports coming out about it. These are people who've crossed over illegally. They get a loan right from the developer, so they don't have to have a social security number and go through the process that everybody else does. They're able to get some property and then they move in. There's some Republican funding involved in that. You might want to peek at it. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's not just Democrats, there's Republicans that are doing this too. And those are the people that are like on the right. I think that they're more dangerous even to the enforcement of border law than Democrats at that point. So this is, I mean, it's creating a very dangerous situation. A very dangerous situation. And there's no relief for Border Patrol, no relief for the people living on the border, nothing. It is infuriating. This is just, it's enough. Enough. Now, one of the things we were talking about is this story with Bob Menendez. Here's interesting. Something that came up from oversight just a little bit ago. It's a letter that Eric Schwerin sent to Hunter Biden an email. All this laptop stuff from Rosemont Seneca saying that, and this is what's interesting, that Bob Menendez had asked that the vice president host the U.S.-Spain Council's 2010 meeting at his Naval Observatory residence in D.C., and he didn't contact the White House. He contacted Hunter Biden's business partner. What? What?
Well, there's no connection.
It seems as though Bob Menendez knew he could email Rosemont Seneca and get a hold of Joe Biden through there in 2010. I have a theory. Can I hear it? I think someone's going to play the information that they know about Rosemont Seneca and Joe Biden's involvement in Hunter's business as a way to avoid serious prison time. That's what I. That's what me thinks, Kane.
Yeah.
This was tweeted just, just a little while ago by House Republicans. They got a hold of this email. Very interesting stuff, huh? Imagine this. That's odd. I'm sure that's a coincidence. So they have this. This is all some of the stuff coming out on the laptop. So they found that Robert Menendez, the guy who just got in trouble, by the way, for, you know, Robert Goldbars Menendez, that he was emailing, reaching out to Rosemont Seneca to get a hold of Joe, the VP, because he knew that he could get a hold of Joe through the business. Then it'd be easier for him through the business than going through the White House office. That's in 2010 or the VP's office.
That's weird because as a senator, you would be able to directly reach out to Joe Biden, another, you know, at the time, I guess, senator.
No, he was vice president in 2010.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, 2010. So he's clearly able to reach out as a Democrat to the Democrat vice president through the vice president's office. So why would you do this runaround unless you were either trying to hide something or do something that wouldn't be quote unquote official government business?
No, but even more so, I'm curious because I thought that Joe didn't know anything about Hunter's business. That's right. The theory.
That there's no connection.
There's no connection. So why is Menendez connecting business through Hunter's business? Huh.
How much more evidence does the media need to run with this?
Oh, man. I hope he plays this as I'm going to rat you out unless I don't get prison time.
I hope so.
Do it. Goodness. I mean, does he? It sounds like he probably knows a lot. Bob Menendez, doesn't it? I mean, you don't get gold bars from Egypt for nothing. Sounds like he had lots of connections. Yeah, he said, the letter from Eric Schwerin says, Danny O'Brien called. Senator Menendez is U.S. chair of the above group. And that's the U.S.-Spain councils. They were having their annual meeting. He says, Spanish members include CEOs of the major banks. He says that the ambassador Solomon is a big supporter. Talking about Joe RB. Who's JRB is Biden. He went to go speak to a group in Boca when a senator. He says having their annual meeting in D.C. in July, Spanish foreign minister attends. Danny wants to explore with you possibility of getting VP to host event at NAVOPS for group, and that's the Naval Observatory residence in D.C. He says maybe even an appearance at a reception at a hotel. I'll get more info, and we can discuss with Danny next week. I think Solomon mentioned your interest in Spain, and that is why Danny is calling us. Sounds interesting. Let's discuss. Probably don't want to mention to Transatlantic in case we can't deliver, though, I guess. That's what Eric Schwerin sent to Hunter Biden. Rosemont Seneca business while Daddy Joe was VP. Dude, they all knew, and now Menendez is now tied into it. Oh!
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
We really need to stop the incoming. We're still seeing about 3,000 a week. That's absolutely unsustainable. We're working so hard, spending millions of dollars, state dollars, to build shelters to house 3,000 here, 2,000 here, 1,000 here. It's still not enough.
What do you think? Yeah, you know, what do you think people are dealing with at the border? I mean, the people in border towns, they're not your shelters. You got to quit treating them like that. That's her issue. Governor Kathy Hochul. Welcome back to the program. We're towards the end of this third hour on Friday. It looks like they're trying to get the John Fetterman dress code thing revoked. Like Joe Manchin is floating a petition. Dick Durbin isn't pleased. Yeah, I mean, this is stupid. If he is not well enough to be expected to dress professionally on the floor of the Senate, he's not well enough to serve in the office. That's the end of it. Bottom line. Like, do you remember how much the left gave Kyrsten Sinema trouble because she wore colorful outfits? I mean, he shows up looking like he's about to tell you that he found a dead cat in your AC duct. I mean,
so true.
You know what I mean? Come on. This is crazy. I don't know. This is all wild. It's all wild. I don't even know. So I really feel like, you know, with this too, you can't have like a special situation just for him. That's not going to work. But there's enough Democrats that are speaking out about this now. So, you know, there you have it. Enough of them are speaking out about it. A couple of other things as we wrap up this Friday. We have the president is going to be in the Rose Garden in a little while with the gun violence thing. I'll have a piece on that that comes out for those of you who subscribe to the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse. And you can check that out. And I'm going to include, I'll put something in there about the, I think I retweeted, I don't know if I've retweeted this yet. The House Republicans asking why is Menendez trying to conduct his business through Hunter Biden's business? It's just, it's weird. I don't know. Just very odd. So we'll see. And I don't even know what, and as it relates to immigration, who knows what's going to happen with the border over the weekend. I did see a screenshot that was from yesterday where Dade Phelan was on Fox News and he was talking about the open border situation that he's basically partially responsible for helping to create that here in Texas. Stop giving this guy a pass, Texas Republicans.
Or alcohol.
So tired of it. What'd you say?
Or alcohol. Stop giving him that too.
Dude, he was lit. That was three
video?
Sheets.
Oh my God.
Dude, he was all the sheets to the wind. That's what that was. All right, today in stupidity, what do
we
got?
All right, it's Karine Jean-Pierre with her usual non-answers or spin. In this instance, it's a non-answer. And this has to do with Democrat Senator Bob Menendez, who we've been talking about. And it makes more sense now that she just doesn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. Listen to what she says when asked about this scandal.
First on Senator Menendez, did the White House know that an indictment was coming today? And does the president believe that the senator should resign?
So a couple of things. I'm going to be really careful here. This is a not comment because this is an active matter. We learned about this just like all of you. But again, this is an active matter, so I'm not going to comment.
No comment on
I'm just active matter.
Active
not
matter.
Not going to comment. All right. Well, you know.
As opposed to inactive matter.
Just so you know, Menendez had a little photo op with Biden less than 24 hours ago. So that's.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Weird. Yeah. But don't ask questions. Folks, that does it for us this week. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook. We have all of our past guest discussions up on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Subscribe also over to Substack. Chapter and Verse. Good stuff comes out of there regularly. Have a great night. Back with you on Monday.